Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints with me, Atar, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Noor Muhammad. Sheikh Noor Muhammad, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, today's question of the program Viewpoints asks, what is or what was Imam al-Sadiq's role in strengthening the Shia school and shaping Shia Hadith's corpus? Sheikh Noor Muhammad, we know that before Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, there are five other infallible imams. Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba, Imam al-Hussein, Imam al-Sajjad, and Imam Muhammad al-Baghir alayhi salam. But what happened that Hadith corpus was somehow strengthened and established during the time of Imam al-Sadiq, up to an extent that nowadays so many of the rituals of the Shia world is remembered after Imam al-Sadiq's efforts. We are called Ja'fariya school of thought somehow. So what were exactly his achievements, Sheikh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that in the time of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi wasalam, it was one of the golden time for them to have the and actually to spread and to maintain the Shia faith and belief. Because in that time, you know that it was because of the political situation and the regimes in that time. It was a very gap, actually, very good time and opportunity for them to spread the message of Ahlul Bayt. According to some of the narrations, more than 4,000 students that were participating in the lessons of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. We have different experts in different areas, like, for example, Humran ibn Ayyun. He was an expert in the Quranic interpretation, like Abu Ali ibn Taghlib in Arabic literature, that's and so right. on and so forth.
Yes.
I want to say that it was the opportunity was in a way that we have different experts in different field of studies.
That's right.
And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he was actually in the kind of debate. He was putting some of his students to go and to debate with other religions and denominations.
So he finds such a freedom on that time, isn't
exactly,
it?
Okay. Exactly. And this kind of freedom, it was lacking actually in the imams before
and after, also
Imam
after
al-Sadiq alayhi salam, right. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam.
So Imam al-Sadiq found the chance in order to, we can say, that's right, hold such majalis in order to have scholarly sessions. All right. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, as I said, so many of the rituals nowadays done by the Shias are remembered after Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, up to an extent that they call us Ja'fariya school of thought, Maktab al-Ja'fari. So why do you think, and what were exactly the achievements of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in reviving the Shia original rituals?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you look at this issue historically, we know that when Amawids got the power, it is said in historical sources that Muawiyah and the rest of the caliphs of Banu Umayyah ordered people to curse four people on the pulpit always: Ali, Ibn Abbas, Hassan, and Hussein.
Wow.
So these four Ahl Bayti figures were cursed around 9 years. What does it mean? It means that during this time, no one could dare to refer to any of these people of Ahlul Bayt to get any lesson, any teaching of Islam from them.
All right.
For example, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zain al-Abidin, the people never referred to them. Because of what? Because Amawids were in power. And the Imam al-Jum'ah, in every city, they cursed these people.
Wow.
When they curse publicly, so how can people refer to them and take Islam from them?
What do you mean by cursing?
Cursing, publicly cursing them.
Oh, really?
Yeah?
Oh.
The first order in the history that was
You're
made...
Using foul language against them?
Yeah, of course. They publicly cursed Amir al-Mu'minin.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz who stopped this cursing. Yeah, at that time, till that time, for 9 years. I want to get back to this historical background to say what was the role of Imam al-Sadiq. You know,
very good.
When these people are being cursed on the pulpit by the appointed Imam al-Jama'at and rulers of the government of Muawiyah and the Amawids, Why Imam al-Sadiq is said to be the... Why this madhab is called Ja'fari?
Yes.
Because of this, that it was Imam al-Sadiq who revived the true teachings of Islam. Mm-hmm. You know? It was Imam al-Sadiq who brought back the people to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt.
Very good.
It was Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam who taught the people the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, if you look at the istibsar, al-Kafi, Tahdhib, Man La Yahdur, these four main Shia sources, they are heavily relied on ahadith of Imam al-Sadiq.
Very good.
Because if you refer to these main sources of Shia, they are heavily relied on the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq. Not Imam Zain al-Abidin, not Imam Hassan, not Imam Hussein. Sometimes we don't have any one single fiqhi hadith from these imams, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein.
Right.
Because of what? Because people could not refer to them.
Can we call Imam al-Sadiq the true organizer of the Shia system?
Exactly. He was the one who established not only jurisprudential school, rather theologically, philosophically, culturally, morally, even politically. That's why our madhab is called Ja'fari.
That's right.
And we all owe to the Imam al-Sadiq heavily.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's right.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
Sheikh Nur Muhammad, from one side, Imam al-Sadiq organized the true teachings of the Shia infallible imams. He was the promoter of the Shia teachings. But from the other side, we could find him as among the people who are against exaggeration about the Shia imams. We can say one of the main efforts and the achievements of Imam al-Sadiq is his actions against Qullat or Ghaliyan,
yes,
the exaggerators of the Shia imam. So how these two come together, Sheikh?
You know that unfortunately we have these kind of exaggerators, as you mentioned, and Qullat. In the time of Ahlul Bayt, beginning from maybe the time of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, so far we have these exaggerators. Unfortunately, they cause a lot of damage to the faith and to the maktab and the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Because this exaggeration, unfortunately, sometimes they attribute some kind of deity.
Yes.
Deity to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam.
Right.
And you know that this is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ahlul Bayt, they are, after all, a pure servant, righteous servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we cannot attribute deity to them.
Mm-hmm.
They are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but righteous servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the, you know, successors of noble prophet Muhammad. But unfortunately, I want to say that this kind of exaggeration, I think, is more harmful than other denominations.
All right.
To the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt. And thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since the time of Imam Ali so far, I mean, even scholars, you know, in different centuries, they strongly rejected these exaggerators.
That's right. Okay. Sheikh Rouhani, politically speaking, some people believe that according to authentic historical documents, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam could be even the caliph of his time. I mean, he had enough power and he gained such a position, politically speaking, to get the power. So if he got the power, the Shia could be more stronger. Why Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, for example, did not accept the invitation of Abu Muslim al-Khurasani or some other people like him who were politically and militarily active of the time?
Yeah, this is a very significant question. But we can look at this issue from a socio-political aspect as well as historical, let's say, aspect. We know that after the event of Ashura, the story of Shia seemed to be ended, to be finished, to be over. You know, apparently it seemed that no one would continue the school of Ahlul Bayt by the event of Ashura and by the imprisonment of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. And then when Sadat al-Hassani, who raised and revolted against Umayyads, yes, they were completely defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And they were brutally killed and mercilessly beheaded by the Khulafa of Banu Umayyah. So it was the it showed that politically talking and socially talking, the situation was not a good situation or good environment for the Ahlul Bayt to take the power.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point is that it seems that according to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, we understand that soft war was more successful than hard war at that time.
Right.
Yeah. The war that was selected by Imam al-Sadiq was soft war because of what? Because when you train the people, when you teach the people the true teachings of Islam, then the people will automatically convert it to you, and people automatically would be attracted to you and would follow you. That is why we see that after Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that Harun al-Rashid was so much powerful Khalifa of Abbasids.
That's right.
It showed that, you know, because for decades, the people were trained by Amawids, and the mentality of the people, the mindsets of the people, the educational systems that the people were grew up within, were completely Amawids.
Mm-hmm.
And so Amawids and Abbasids in many, many, let's say, grounds, they were shared, they were the same. That's why when the people got, when the people turned to Abbasids, again, they followed the same teachings of Amawids.
All right.
That is why they supported powerfully Harun al-Rashid.
All right.
And we know that Harun al-Rashid imprisoned Imam al-Kadhim for about 19 years.
That's right.
He was such a powerful Khalifa,
mm-hmm,
who was the enemy of the Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
So in this kind of situation, how can Imam al-Sadiq get the political power?
Political power, that's
you see?
Right.
Okay. So that is why Imam al-Sadiq trained, or there was a kind of cultural resistance.
Taqiyya, can we call it?
Yeah, cultural kind of resistance.
That's right.
Or let's say hard, soft war,
soft war, that's
it was more successful, because despite the fact that the a'imma, like Imam al-Qadhi, Imam al-Jawad, Imam al-Hadi, Imam al-Asri, all of them imprisoned and brutally killed and martyred.
Yes.
Despite all these things, we see millions of Shias across the globe nowadays remain alive.
That's right.
And this is cool, remain alive. Why? Because as I said, this, let's say, soft war of Imam al-Sadiq was more successful.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it true that Imam al-Sadiq introduced 5 inheritors to the position of imamate of his time? I mean, beside Imam Musa al-Kazim, who was the main inheritor, 5 others were introduced by him. Was there any special reason for that?
Actually, according to the historical account, the real successor of Imam was Imam al-Kadhim, alayhi salatu wasalam. But actually, it was kind of Imam wanted to attract the attention of the regimes to the, you know, some specific goals, you know.
Maybe to save the life of the imam, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
Because the Abbasids were at power, maybe the killing of the Imam Musa al-Kazim.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, there was no other choice for imam. Rather, it was kind of plan of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam to guide the Islamic ummah and actually to avoid the regimes of that time.
That's right.
But the Shia in that time and the companions of Imam, it was very clear, obvious for them that who the real successor of Imam actually is. I want to say that the point here, the regime was very oppressive in that time.
That's right.
Very cruel, as you mentioned. And the time was very critical, and the era. And in that harsh and very difficult time, Imam did his best in order to safeguard and to maintain the true religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Shia school of thought.
That's why some of the companions of the Imam, like Mu'min al-Tagh and Hisham ibn Salim, first went to Abdullah al-Aftah in order to get their answers about the imamate. They were not convinced and persuaded by the answers. Then they get to Musa al-Kazim, and the true Imam showed himself in the answers given to him, and they accepted him as the Imam. That's right. The true place of the burial place, I mean the grave of Imam Ali alayhi salam, is known to be shown by Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Because of all this political suffocation of the time, Imam's grave was hidden too, to the eyes of the public.
Maybe according to my understanding, yes. the most important point of Imam al-Sadiq was great heritage.
Yes.
Unfortunately, many people worldwide are not aware of the heritage of Ahlul Bayt. I just want to invite them to have a look at beautiful narrations of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam about the lifestyle, yes. about your life in this world and the hereafter. Hadith corpus we have.
That's right. Thank you very much, Shaykh Nur Muhammad and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the achievements of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in strengthening Shia school of thought. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, please visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted, 'cause I know that one day suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.